Joining me this morning is Lisa Granstein from Adweek to talk a little bit about the commercials, the spots that were in the Super Bowl. Lisa, good morning. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
All right. $5.2 million. Is it really worth it? You tell me. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it really depends on the spot and the strategy the advertisers put in place. So if they play it right, they have a good ad, solid ad, they get the buzz, then absolutely. I mean, over 100 million viewers are watching this. This is, and it's global. But if it's a bust, then it's a lot of money down the drain.
Let me ask you this. In the old days of the Super Bowl, we used to be surprised. We never saw the ads before the games, but now there are so many websites and YouTube. You can see all the advertisements before the game. So while I was watching the game a little bit, I knew what was coming down the pike. I wasn't as surprised. I was looking forward to seeing certain ads and not looking forward to seeing certain others. Why is that done now, do you think? Why do they preview all the ads now and you can see them all before the game, where in the old days they were not able to do that?
Well, you could preview them. I mean, not all of them are previewed. Some are actually left for the game, like Burger King's Andy Warhol, for example. But a lot of them are given, send out teasers or show the entire ad because, yes, they're spending over $5 million. That's just for the airtime. They're spending millions more to produce and market the ad. So they want to get as much bang for their buck as they can. So with online, they're able to get more impressions. They're able to get it, go viral, hopefully, get it all over social media. And it just has a longer tail. And that's really important these days. It's not just about TV.
All right. So Adweek has been tracking the ads. And how do you do that, actually, to find out which ads actually influenced people or actually made an impact? How do you do that?
Well, we take a look at social media. And we also have a number of experts on our team. We have a war room here in New York in our office, tracking all the games and writing critiques about them all. So we do our own analysis and also check out what's happening on social media.
All right. So let's talk about which ads, I guess, scored the most or scored the highest with viewers yesterday.
Definitely Bud Light was a big one. The crossover with Game of Thrones, which is coming back in April. Was a big surprise. Everyone thought, oh, here's another Dilly Dilly Bud Knight ad, and oh, isn't this over? And then suddenly, wham, the mountain just destroys him, and the dragon flambés him, and it's done. And it was a brilliant crossover, and no one saw coming, but made perfect sense.
It's funny, Lisa, that's funny. I thought the same thing. I said the exact same thing. I said another Dilly Dilly ad. I said the exact same thing. And then I was...
No more Dilly Dilly for you. You're free.
Yeah. And then I was kind of blown away by that. What else scored pretty high yesterday?
The Hyundai ad with Jason Bateman was pretty great. He's a very snarky actor, and he showed basically vividly what, the experience of shopping for a car could be like by going down an elevator and onto floors, serving root canals, jury duty, vegan dinner parties, which upset vegans apparently, and how great Hyundais are. That was actually fun, and everyone can relate to that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. That was very entertaining, and I thought it brought the point home pretty well. That was pretty good. Jason Bateman was pretty good in that as well. What about the Pepsi ad with Steve Carell and Cardi B? How did that work out?
Well, I thought that was really smart. Just like Ava back in the day, their ad was "We Try Harder, We're Number Two." So Pepsi was just saying, like, look, when you go to a restaurant, people do, the servers do say, "Is Pepsi okay?" And of course it's okay. So that's what Steve Carell was trying to get at. And I thought it was an effective ad by, including Cardi B and Lil Jon and having fun with it and just owning it and saying Pepsi is more than okay.
How about the Alexa commercial with Harrison Ford as a cameo in that one as well? I thought that was interesting. Did it get across the point?
I think so. And I think it not only got across the point that Amazon could basically do whatever it wants, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
But it was also a little scary to see, like, yes, they could possibly do this to us one day.
Yeah.
So there was, a bit of a cautionary tale there, but it was funny. A lot of folks are saying they want to see a Harrison Ford and that dog, some sort of buddy movie. It was good chemistry. It was just light and fun, but a little creepy at the same time.
Yes, it was when he put the Alexa toothbrush in his mouth. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. And of course, the hot tub playing music. But I thought the dog and Harrison Ford were pretty well. You know, every time the dog barked, he ordered something else online or dog food. What else made a big impression with viewers last night as far as your ad tracker scores go?
Well, we actually really enjoyed the Verizon spot celebrating the first responders. That one was very, you know, very appropriate for Super Bowl. That's where ads like that tend to go, whether it's celebrating folks in the military like Google did with veterans trying to help them find jobs. And Verizon's was very touching in terms of how these first responders helped with California fires or with NFL players themselves in accidents. It was very touching and inspiring.
Yeah. What about Christina Applegate's M&Ms? That was introducing a new product, an actual candy bar from M&Ms.
Right, and that's a popular strategy. You know, you have a rapt audience, introduce a new product. So that's what M&Ms did, and she was actually really funny and relatable. Any parent with a bunch of kids in the backseat knows exactly what that deal is about. And I thought it was all well put together and fun.
Which spots did not do very well in your tracking?
Well, we were not thrilled with Planters. We thought it was a bit of a hot mess with Charlie Sheen and Alex Rodriguez. It was kind of all over the place, a little chaotic. People were grossed out by mint. The financial app with the chunky milk.
Oh, that was horrible! Yeah,
they're eating. Right, you know, you're gagging on your tacos.
Yes,
while watching that.
Good point. Good point. Yes,
but in a sense, it was effective. And sometimes, you know, that's what they're looking for: how to be as disgusting and crass as possible to stand out without being controversial. And in that way, they were effective. Because we're talking about it this morning, but it was really kind of not fun to watch.
Yeah. I thought the Budweiser ads, you know, with their competitors, knocking down their competitors with the corn syrup? I thought that was kind of interesting. In the old days, we would never see competitors on the same ad, but they were trying to knock down their competitors in this.
Well, I think that's sort of a spillover from social media, where that happens all the time now. Burger King is always trolling McDonald's, for example, and Bud Light took it to the Super Bowl and trolled Coors Light and Miller Light and caused quite a bit of controversy online with the corn syrup brouhaha. But in the end, I think all of that was overshadowed by the Game of Thrones crossover, and rightly so.
Absolutely. Adweek's Lisa Granstein joining us this morning here on News Talk 98.1 WTSN, looking at the best Super Bowl commercials and some of the worst ads as well. Lisa, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.